It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The big story in the NFL right now is the future of Brandon Ayuk, which could have a trickle-down effect, to say
the
least.
A big ripple, yeah.
Yeah, a trickle-down effect because of what could be involved, who could be involved in the trade, and then obviously just where you're at if you're the San Francisco 49ers. So for those that don't know, Brandon Ayuk, he wants a new contract, okay? He wants a new contract. He's been statistically one of the better wide receivers in football. Right now the 49ers have had no interest in giving him a new contract.
Zero.
He is still under contract, let me remind you, so... You know, if they don't want to trade him, they can absolutely not trade him, and he can choose to sit out, which wouldn't make any sense, or play this season out. And then they could tag and trade in the offseason. That's still what I would do if I were the 49ers. But yesterday there was some more reporting suggesting that, like, they may be willing to trade him after all. And I just don't get what leverage Brandon Ayuk has in this scenario. So the report comes from NBC Sports Bay Area that the 49ers have the framework of a Brandon Ayuk trade with both the Browns and the Patriots. It is now up to Ayuk to decide if he'll accept either team's contract terms. Because remember, that's the only bit of leverage he has within
the trade. And
the Chester
reporting that Ayuk is given permission to negotiate a contract with a potential new team.
Correct. So, like, yes, does he have leverage with who he gets traded to? That is true. Leverage in that aspect, that if he doesn't want to go to Cleveland, even if the deal is great, then he doesn't go to Cleveland. He can basically block that. But in terms of getting traded itself, the Niners do not have to do this. And I wouldn't. You're in win-now mode. Why am I giving up
this,
Brandon Ayuk?
This is the problem. So every once in a while, a team gets, a little too far ahead on the what if we, got to let go, guy, year too early sometimes instead of year too late. Not when you were in the Super Bowl last year and have been in two of the last four.
Your co-favorites
or five.
This year.
And the co-favorite this year. You can't be giving up a number one wide receiver. I understand that for the most part, the teams we've heard them negotiating with, Steelers, Browns, Patriots, all AFC teams, and in my opinion, irrelevant AFC teams. So, like, I don't care if Brandon Ayuk ends up on one of those squads. It fundamentally makes the Chiefs' job easier. The question I have for you is why? I understand the maximum compensation you can get back in return for Brandon Ayuk is a third-round pick, a late third-round pick, if he is to go and sign a massive contract in the offseason away from you. Worth it, because this year you'll still have Brandon Ayuk. The crazy part about this to me is, if you were going to do this, you should have just toughened up and done it in April. You made a huge error in judgment in waiting this damn long. I told you last year with Chris Jones, my stance was that if you think Chris Jones isn't getting an extension at all, if you think that's dead, trade him before the draft. Not trade him in August. Not trade him August 6th. Like, that's a wild time to be giving away what is your number two weapon in your offense? Number one weapon in your offense when you've got a young quarterback on a rookie deal? I understand you're paying Christian McCaffrey. I understand you have Deebo Samuel. But you have the best set of offensive weapons in the league in a year in which you're favored to win the Super Bowl. Why the hell would you give someone away before the season?
In the proposed trade, reportedly with the Browns, Ayuk would go to Cleveland.
They'd get Amari Cooper back.
Amari Cooper would go to San Francisco with 1 year left. He's 31 years old or whatever, with 1 year left. So they would, for this particular season,
be okay.
They would get Cooper, who's obviously still a very good receiver. But after that, they wouldn't. So they would then also get some draft picks back. So, okay, in that scenario, you're getting picks back and you're getting a receiver to help
you
this year.
But he has to get
year.
Up to speed in your offense. Correct. In 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. And on that scenario, I don't know why, if I'm Cleveland, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to give up picks. Yes, I'm getting Ayuk, who's going to be with me for multiple years. So I have to pay Ayuk top wide receiver money, $28, $30 million a year.
Who I could just pay to Amari Cooper if I wanted to keep him around.
But Cooper wouldn't get that because he's 31.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But so I would bring in a guy that's going to be here longer, but I'm going to pay him top-tier money. And I'm also going to give the 49ers some of my top picks. I don't get it. Now, if I'm the Patriots, it makes even more sense. You have a young rookie quarterback in Drake May, and so you want to surround him with as much talent as possible. You don't have a ton of wide receiver talent in New England. Kendrick Bourne's your best receiver. And in that framework that's reported, Kendrick Bourne would go to San Francisco, who used to believe, I believe he used to be in San Francisco.
He did.
Be wrong. So that's a weird one. There's a ton of noise, though, for now not to happen, it seems like. The Steelers have been rumored.
Way too much smoke.
I just would not do it if I'm
If you're giving him permission to negotiate a new contract and pick a new team, his ass is getting traded. Especially if there's a framework for trade
seems
compensation
like
for a couple of teams. Bigly over on Twitch says, it's the agents that always F everything up. In the last 3 years, and I'm assuming until the market corrects itself, I told you, I think it was last year, my take on an old 32 was there is going to be a massive wide receiver moved every single year. Gold was my take like 2 years ago or a year ago on an all 32.
And you thought Diggs was that move this year.
I thought Diggs was that move. He ended up.
Maybe we have another one.
Well, Diggs is already gone. He's in Houston, so problem solved on one. And yeah, we might get Brandon Ayuk too. This seems to be the lay of the land because we're stuck in a weird middle. This is like a bigger story about the NFL. We're stuck in a weird middle. Right now in the NFL, elite level wide receivers are entering the league at kind of an unprecedented level. Like guys who are just good immediately are entering the league right away. Now, last year wasn't a good example of that because the second best wide receiver was Rashee Rice, and there wasn't a lot of smoke. This year's supposed to be a lot different in that regard, with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and everybody going super early. Because of that, I think some of these teams are between the like, well, I don't really want to pay this guy. And if you don't want to pay him, there are still teams that want their receiver now rather than wait a little bit. And so it's like it's causing this weird like movement in the league where some teams are willing to pay some of those guys. Other teams aren't willing to pay their guys. And it's just this like weird cycle.
Where is Brandon Ayuk, though, if when he's not in San Francisco? That's the big question.
Oh, he's
right?
Like, you know, receivers in the league?
Yeah, I mean, because
oh, man.
Right
he's
now,
a 1,000-yard guy?
Right now, he's surrounded by one of the best offensive minds in Kyle Shanahan. He's got Debo. He's got McCaffrey. He's got Kittle. So he is the secondary option.
And you can always spin that the other way, technically, right? Where
for sure.
Maybe he'd be 1,400 yards if he was on
the That's the big question, right? And that's the risk if you're another team that trades for him.
Man, God, this is tough. Because on his own team, I think you could really ask that question. He just said it's like, where is he on his own team as far as the best weapon in the league? Okay, here's the receivers I think are definitely better than him. Tyreek, Amon-Ra probably I would take.
For sure.
Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely.
Jamar Chase.
Of course. And
right?
Any of those top – well, just beyond like, CeeDee Lamb, any of the top – he's not top five.
Lamb.
So you can take the
–
he's not – Brandon Ayuk is in that 10 to 12 range right now in the league, in my opinion.
But I will say he's fringe top 10. Last year, he finished 7th in the league in receiving yardage. And he did that on only 75 catches, even though the guys who had catches above him yardage had 96, 106, 105, 119, 135, and 119 catches. So he was almost as productive as those guys on 50 less catches in some cases. Now that is partially the Kyle Shanahan
right, that's the question.
Effect and the yards after catch effect. But part of me thinks that if he can do that kind of production on that number of catches, if he doesn't have the yak master, which is what Kyle Shanahan's offense is really predicated on, you catching the ball and then getting a bunch of yardage after, I think given volume, Brandon Ayuk is a French top 10 wide receiver. And top 10 wide receivers, as you know, you pay like number ones when it's their turn.
And so that's going to be $30 million a year.
It's going to be $30 million a year.
And that's why I just – you're right. With all the noise, it seems like this trade is actually going to happen. And I was wrong if it actually happens. Because I was like, there's no way San Francisco trades him. There's no reason to. And I still maintain that. There's really not much of a reason why I would trade him in a win-now year if I'm Sam Fran.
I'm trying to remember. I want to give credit to the person who sent out the tweet, but I can't. They said, I'm having a hard time believing the Brandon Ayuk trade is real because that would be stupid. And the 49ers aren't stupid. Like, they're a good organization.
Yeah.
They don't do stupid things other than draft Trey Lance, but they don't do stupid things. That's crazy. And that's kind of how I feel about it, too. It is just a move I would make. It is plain and simple a move I would not make if I were the 49ers.
Joe at Chiefs Training Camp. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're expected to have Drew Tranquil of the Chiefs join us after practice today, probably within the next half hour or so, give or take. Also going to hear from Rashee Rice. It'll be the first time he speaks since training camp has begun. Still no word on his suspension, but we'll get a chance to hear from him and Steve Spagnuolo, all coming your way in this hour and into the noon hour, as this is one of two practices they have before they head down to Jacksonville for preseason game number one. But the big story in the NFL right now is the future of Brandon Ayuk, which could have a trickle-down effect, to say
the
least.
A big ripple, yeah.
Yeah, a trickle-down effect because of what could be involved, who could be involved in the trade, and then obviously just where you're at if you're the San Francisco 49ers. So for those that don't know, Brandon Ayuk, he wants a new contract, okay? He wants a new contract. He's been statistically one of the better wide receivers in football. Right now the 49ers have had no interest in giving him a new contract.
Zero.
He is still under contract, let me remind you. So, you know, if they don't want to trade him, they can absolutely not trade him, and he can choose to sit out, which wouldn't make any sense, or play this season out. And then they could tag and trade in the offseason. That's still what I would do if I were the 49ers. But yesterday there was some more reporting suggesting that, like, they may be willing to trade him after all. And I just don't get what leverage Brandon Ayuk has in this scenario. So the report comes from NBC Sports Bay Area that the 49ers have the framework of a Brandon Ayuk trade with both the Browns and the Patriots. It is now up to Ayuk to decide if he'll accept either team's contract terms. Because remember, that's the only bit of leverage he has within the trade.
And the Chester reporting that Ayuk has given permission to negotiate a contract
correct
with a potential new team.
Correct. So, like, yes, does he have leverage with who he gets traded to? That is true. Leverage in that aspect, that if he doesn't want to go to Cleveland, even if the deal is great, then he doesn't go to Cleveland. He can basically block that. But in terms of getting traded itself, the Niners do not have to do this. And I wouldn't. You're in win-now mode. Why am I giving up
this,
Brandon Ayuk?
This is the problem. So every once in a while, a team gets, a little too far ahead on the what if we, got to let go, guy, year too early sometimes instead of year too late. Not when you were in the Super Bowl last year and have been in two of the last four.
Your co-favorites
or five.
This year.
And the co-favorite this year. You can't be giving up a number one wide receiver. I understand that for the most part, the teams we've heard them negotiating with, Steelers, Browns, Patriots, all AFC teams, and in my opinion, irrelevant AFC teams. So, like, I don't care if Brandon Ayuk ends up on one of those squads. It fundamentally makes the Chiefs' job easier. The question I have for you is why? I understand the maximum compensation you can get back in return for Brandon Ayuk is a third-round pick, a late third-round pick, if he is to go and sign a massive contract in the offseason away from you. Worth it, because this year you'll still have Brandon Ayuk. The crazy part about this to me is, if you were going to do this, you should have just toughened up and done it in April. You made a huge error in judgment in waiting this damn long. I told you last year with Chris Jones, my stance was that if you think Chris Jones isn't getting an extension at all, if you think that's dead, trade him before the draft. Not trade him in August. Not trade him August 6th. Like, that's a wild time to be giving away what is your number two weapon in your offense? Number one weapon in your offense when you've got a young quarterback on a rookie deal? I understand you're paying Christian McCaffrey. I understand you have Deebo Samuel. But you have the best set of offensive weapons in the league in a year in which you're favored to win the Super Bowl. Why the hell would you give someone away before the season?
In the proposed trade, reportedly with the Browns, Ayuk would go to Cleveland.
They'd get Amari Cooper back.
Amari Cooper would go to San Francisco with 1 year left. He's 31 years old or whatever, with 1 year left. So they would, for this particular season,
be okay.
They would get Cooper, who's obviously still a very good receiver. But after that, they wouldn't. So they would then also get some draft picks back. So, okay, in that scenario, you're getting picks back and you're getting a receiver to help
you
this year.
But he has to get
year
up to speed in your offense. Correct. In 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. And on that scenario, I don't know why if I'm Cleveland I'm thinking about it. I'm going to give up picks. Yes, I'm getting Ayuk, who's going to be with me for multiple years. So I have to pay Ayuk top wide receiver money, $28, $30 million a year.
Who I could just pay to Amari Cooper if I wanted to keep him around.
But Cooper wouldn't get that because he's 31.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But so I would bring in a guy that's going to be here longer, but I'm going to pay him top-tier money. And I'm also going to give the 49ers some of my top picks. I don't get it. Now, if I'm the Patriots, it makes even more sense. You have a young rookie quarterback in Drake May, and so you want to surround him with as much talent as possible. You don't have a ton of wide receiver talent in New England. Kendrick Bourne's your best receiver. And in that framework that's reported, Kendrick Bourne would go to San Francisco, who used to believe, I believe he used to be in San Francisco.
He did.
Be wrong. So that's a weird one. There's a ton of noise, though, for now not to happen, it seems like. The Steelers have been rumored.
Way too much smoke.
I just would not do it if I'm
If you're giving him permission to negotiate a new contract and pick a new team, his ass is getting traded. Especially if there's a framework for trade
seems
compensation
like
for a couple of teams. Bigly over on Twitch says, it's the agents that always F everything up. In the last 3 years, and I'm assuming until the market corrects itself, I told you, I think it was last year, my take on an old 32 was there is going to be a massive wide receiver moved every single year. Gold was my take like 2 years ago or a year ago on an all 32.
And you thought Diggs was that move this year.
I thought Diggs was that move. He ended up.
Maybe we have another one.
Well, Diggs is already gone. He's in Houston, so problem solved on one. And, yeah, we might get Brandon Ayuk, too. This seems to be the lay of the land because we're stuck in a weird middle. This is like a bigger story about the NFL. We're stuck in a weird middle. Right now in the NFL, elite-level wide receivers are entering the league at kind of an unprecedented level. Like, guys who are just good immediately are entering the league right away. Now, last year wasn't a good example of that because the second-best wide receiver was Rashee Rice, and there wasn't a lot of smoke. This year's supposed to be a lot different in that regard, with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and everybody going super early. Because of that, I think some of these teams are between the, like, well, I don't really want to pay this guy. And if you don't want to pay him, there are still teams that want their receiver now rather than wait a little bit. And so it's like it's causing this weird, like, movement in the league where some teams are willing to pay some of those guys. Other teams aren't willing to pay their guys. And it's just this, like, weird cycle.
Where is Brandon Ayuk, though, if when he's not in San Francisco? That's the big question.
Oh, he's
right?
Receivers in the league?
Yeah, I mean, because right now he's surrounded by one of the best offensive minds in Kyle Shanahan. He's got Debo. He's got McCaffrey. He's got Kittle. So he is the secondary option.
And you can always spin that the other way, technically, right?
For sure.
Maybe he'd be 1,400 yards if he was on
the road. That's the big question, right? And that's the risk if you're another team that trades for him.
Man, God, this is tough. Because on his own team, I think you could really ask that question. He just said it's like, where is he on his own team as far as the best weapon in the league? Okay, here's the receivers I think are definitely better than him. Tyreek, Amon-Ra probably I would take.
For sure.
Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely.
Jamar Chase.
Of course. And
right?
Any of those top – well, just beyond like, CeeDee Lamb, any of the top – he's not top five.
Lamb.
So you can take the – he's not – Brandon Ayuk is in that 10 to 12 range right now in the league, in my opinion.
But I will say he's fringe top 10. Last year, he finished 7th in the league in receiving yardage. And he did that on only 75 catches, even though the guys who had catches above him yardage had 96, 106, 105, 119, 135, and 119 catches. So he was almost as productive as those guys on 50 less catches in some cases. Now that is partially the Kyle Shanahan
right, that's the question.
Effect and the yards after catch effect. But part of me thinks that if he can do that kind of production on that number of catches, if he doesn't have the yak master, which is what Kyle Shanahan's offense is really predicated on, you catching the ball and then getting a bunch of yardage after, I think given volume, Brandon Ayuk is a French top 10 wide receiver. And top 10 wide receivers, as you know, you pay like number ones when it's their turn.
And so that's going to be $30 million a year.
It's going to be $30 million a year.
And that's why I just – you're right. With all the noise, it seems like this trade is actually going to happen. And I was wrong if it actually happens. Because I was like, there's no way San Francisco trades him. There's no reason to. And I still maintain that. There's really not much of a reason why I would trade him in a win-now year if I'm San Fran.
I'm trying to remember. I want to give credit to the person who sent out the tweet, but I can't. They said, I'm having a hard time believing the Brandon Ayuk trade is real because that would be stupid. And the 49ers aren't stupid. Like, they're a good organization.
Yeah.
They don't do stupid things other than draft Trey Lance, but they don't do stupid things. That's crazy. And that's kind of how I feel about it, too. It is just a move I would make. It is plain and simple a move I would not make if I...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the 49ers. I did see, if you just want other like fun NFL news, you see Schefter about 10 minutes ago?
No.
Says the official first depth chart, real depth chart, not PR depth chart, is out for the Denver Broncos. And they currently have Jared Stidham listed as their starting quarterback and Bo Nix listed as third string.
So,
It's all right.
It's not as crazy. Yeah, Drew's a little nervous because
Bo Nix stood
behind your guy, Bo Nix. That wasn't us.
But we're going to talk. I mean, my All-32 has to do with the rookie quarterback situation, not in Denver. But this will basically what I was going to mention there. I'll mention a little bit here is, you know, there's multiple scenarios, not in Chicago, not in D.C. with Jaden Daniels, but there are a couple rookies that are not going to start week one. And they're going to have the veteran stopgap, get 4, 5, 6 games, and we can disagree with it, but like in Minnesota, the same thing's going to happen. Sam Darnold, who was named, or at least listed, not named the starter, listed as a starter on their depth chart.
He was.
Sam Darnold is probably...
McCarthy was at least tied for second.
I think...
He wouldn't shove all the way to third.
No question. I think Sam Darnold will start week one for Minnesota. Now, by week 5, week 6, I expect J.J. McCarthy, but look at Minnesota's first 5 weeks. Look at the schedule. It is brutal. I think they're going to make Sam Darnold go out against that stretch. And look, if he surprises everybody, then he's going to keep the job longer. But that would be the question that I would have in Denver. Okay, Jared Stidham, could he start week one, week two, week three? And then they're like, all right, now we bring in Bo Nix. I could see that potentially playing out. If not, it's either that or it's just Sean Payton wanting to make Bo Nix earn it.
When you have a chance to win.
Ridiculousness, sometimes we pretend these games
so dumb.
With the depth chart.
When nobody made C.J. Stroud earn it and it turned out fine, when you look at the quarterback position, like it's just – I understand. I will be okay with, I've told you, 1 year of sitting your guy as a backup just as long as you're winning, in my opinion. Like Kirk Cousins, right? You're allowed, or the Alex Smith days. You're allowed to put your quarterback, I think, behind your starter for a year if you're winning. Not behind Jared Stidham. That's a waste of damn time. That's a waste of everybody's time. You're just throwing games away. That person could be getting valuable NFL reps. You stink. You're going to stink. If you start Jared Stidham, games, and then you're going to hand over an already loser to your quarterback.
Hey, tell me how you really feel.
Like, God, it's just like...
You don't like Jared Stidham.
Settle down, man. I do think a theme, guys, with these depth charts, though, going across, it seems like the veterans are just... Like, whoever's a vet seems to be higher up on the depth chart, even though the player's not as good. Like, I would say, for, I guess, the Bengals example... Mike Gesicki's a better tight end than Drew Sample is, but Drew Sample's been there longer than Mike Gesicki has, and he's higher up on the depth chart than Mike Gesicki is.
You're right.
Quarterback matters more than what I feel about tight end.
Sure, but I don't know if that's... They might be putting Stidham there because, I mean, all of season long we've heard about how good Bo Nix looks from Sean Payton.
Yeah,
sure. He's picking up the ball. I don't know if...
But Sean Payton's a liar. He told us he liked Russell Wilson.
Look, I don't think – well, he had to play the game on that one. He was stuck with Russell. He knew he was stuck with Russell for a year.
He's stuck with Bo, too.
I think to Drew's point a little bit, there is some of – hey, they haven't even had the first preseason game, so they're going to just go ahead and make Bo Nix, quote-unquote, earn it. But I do think there's going to be some rookie quarterbacks that are going to eventually start, but not in week one. We can disagree with the logic behind it, but this is not unique to just, let's say, Minnesota or Denver, if in fact they go that path, where you could have a veteran that we all know has no future in that city get a couple of starts early, whether they're not ready or whatever logic they want to use, and then suddenly it's week five and so-and-so's making their debut. I think there's a chance in Minnesota it definitely happens, and maybe that's Denver as well. The argument in Denver, to your point a little bit, Cody, is that Bo Nix is already old. So, like, don't wait. Like, you know, J.J. McCarthy's very young.
Wait, like, Jared Stidham.
Yeah, like, Bo Nix, you don't need to wait as long. He's played a ton of football already in his career, and he's one of the older quarterbacks that we've seen enter the league in a while.
Yeah, I'm not going to get, like, I'm not saying Bo Nix is. bust at the beginning, so I don't think it's going to work out. But, like, I wouldn't declare him a bust because he was a third-string quarterback listed on a depth chart.
My guess is he will not be listed third in 3 weeks.
Sixth.
Yeah.
I just think it's a waste of time to start Jarrett Stidham. Also, the division, if I saw Chase Daniel talk about the Justin Herbert injury, and for a guy who played quarterback in the league, I understand he wasn't a star quarterback. He's like, that injury is going to be a problem all year.
Yeah, it's going to flare up.
It affects the way you can plant and throw, which affects your ability. This division's like already over. What do we got? We got Stidham on one side, who was listed as the starter for the Raiders.
Gardner Minshew.
And now Justin Herbert's not even healthy? I saw Colin Cowherd say that he thought that they could finish third in the AFC.
Yeah, that's the normal offseason crap around the Chargers. Justin Herbert week one. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, sorry, guys, that Bink said yesterday that with Herbert, with him injured, that Carson Wentz is the second-best quarterback in the division.
Oh, if Herbert's not available.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it's better than Stidham.
I mean, yes. If Herbert's not available, he might have a point.
Who's the Raiders starting quarterback?
Gardner Minshew.
Oh, Gardner Minshew.
He might have a point if that's the case.
Oh,
look, I think the plantar fascia injury or whatever for Herbert is absolutely something that where it's week one and maybe he is back by then, but all of a sudden week five, does it hurt? I mean, can I give you an early? It's not even much of an up, but based off of a spread, it's an upset. Week one upset. I have it for you.
Okay.
You already have
a week one upset bet for me?
Week one.
I got to bet it. I got to bet it for a month from now?
The Raiders are going to upset the Chargers and win in week one.
Wow. What kind of line am I getting?
Right now, the Raiders are 3-point dogs.
On the money line, I'm probably getting like plus 200 or something? Plus 160?
Maybe so. Okay. I definitely would take the Raiders plus 3 against the Chargers, whether Herbert's playing or not. It's week one. It's the time to get a brand new coach, brand new coaching staff, even if Herbert was healthy. That's the weird game where the Raiders find a way to win week one because the Chargers have a brand new regime, brand new offensive coordinator, a lot of new pieces. All of that.
That game just sounds gross right now.
That's
like a 13-9 game.
I mean, it's not like Panthers Saints or whatever. Like that's like if I had to vote on least likely matchup to watch
Thursday
the entire
night
year.
Matchup later in the year. Don't worry.
I won't turn it on. I couldn't have enough. I could put $1,000 on that game and I wouldn't watch it. Check in later. I can't put myself through that. I like my time more than that.
Yeah.
You know what this is? This goes back to our conversation. This is a perfect example of our conversation yesterday where you said, hey, look, sometimes it like takes really long to make this macaroni. I value my time. I value my time more than watching that dump of a game.
Thinking of time, did you see the text line as practice, by the way, is wrapping up? They're doing their final stretches, and probably within the next, 10 minutes, we'll probably have Drew Tranquil join us. Someone said, shout out, Alex. Spent 3 hours putting together an IKEA bunk bed last night. Never again. I'm telling you, it's just not worth your time.
It's
just not worth your time. Just go ahead and pay the person $65-$70, TaskRabbit. Let somebody else or Jack Cochran come and make it for you, okay? Let him go ahead and put it together.
I think you should just build it. You did right, sir. Fine choice.
It took him 3 hours to build that bad boy. A bunk bed? Ugh.
To do that all by yourself, having myself put together multiple IKEA things, if you did that all by yourself, 3 hours is pretty solid time, I would say, actually.
Awful.
For a whole bunk bed? Yeah, that's not bad.
That sounds
I built a cabinet the other day. Like, we got a new cabinet in our living room, and I built it, and I think it took us 40 minutes? I mean, what would I have had to pay someone? Like, $70?
You feel a little bit better about yourself, too, I think, afterwards. You know, like you did something.
Yeah. I accomplished it. You know, I already paid for the cabinet. I don't want to also pay for the labor, you know. Well, that's not crazy.
But that's why you're also getting the furniture a little cheaper, too, I feel like. I feel like they know that built in. Like,
yeah.
Look, there's nothing. Look, I've had IKEA furniture as well. But, like, you know.
Who among us?
You know, who hasn't? But there's also, they know that that's part. I feel like that's part of knowing like what you're getting. That you're going to be spending another 3+ hours later on, perhaps, putting it together.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it. Imagine if you're rich enough, somebody will just, you can just buy pre-built furniture. Maybe not anymore, I don't know. But at some point, that meant something.
Someone says, Gold, can you build Legos? Oh, I hated Legos.
Hated them?
Yeah, wasn't a big fan of them.
Took too much time? Is that the reason why? Or
like, I never would sit there. People, you know, I had friends, Drew, that would have, you know, you pick whatever, like these Legos and X amount of, you know, 1,000 pieces or whatever, and they're like, they spent 3 weeks building together, and it looks amazing when it's done. No chance was I pulling out the instructions. That's just not how my mind works. It's not, that's just not me. So that's just never me, the instructions. It's just not great. When I've put together stuff, like I put together my Traeger grill when it came in, because it came in pieces, that was a task for me, okay? That was a task. That was, and I put the wheels on backwards initially. I undo it and do it again. I don't have time for that in my own mind, frustration. I don't have the patience for that at all. Anyway.
Practice looks like it is wrapping up. Most of the players have started to mill off the field. So we should be getting Drew Tranquil here very shortly.
Yeah, coming up next, we're going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're expected to hear from Rashee Rice. Also expected to have Drew Tranquil join us live right here on 610
Sports. Where has Patrick been, maybe through some of those, both off the field and then on the field as you're growing as well?
He's been very important. He's there for me, you know, whenever I need him on or off the field. You know, he's only a call away, and he's always going to pick up my call, so I got him.
So that was Rashee Rice speaking to the media. Obviously, kind of had his answer ready to go, as expected. Said legal
said
process.
I need to start surrounding myself by people who want me to grow. That would suggest not the people you were hanging out with before, wouldn't it?
That would be the hope, right? That would be the hope. Also, when he was asked about the suspension itself, said legal process being handled by the team and also his team off the field. And so not that I expected anything differently. It's not like he was going to give much on that, because honestly, I don't think they know the answer yet on whether or not for sure the suspension isn't happening or if it is happening. But yeah, you hope. I mean, like any, whether we're talking about a football player or anybody in life, right, you make mistakes, you hope that you adjust from there and you pivot, whether it's people you're hanging out with, whether it's your own personal decision-making, both in this case probably. I mean, that should be the hope that everybody has, no matter what your feelings are about the situation. Like, the hope should be for him as a person that he adjusts and
to learn
learns
and grow
from some mistakes that he clearly has made off the field, as he acknowledged, and we'll see. On the football side of it, you know, if he is able to run some deeper routes as well, we're all focused in on Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, but is there a chance that Rashee Rice is more than just a guy, you know, drag routes underneath?
Told you, you should be talking about more growth typically. If you got a wide receiver with almost 900 yards in his rookie campaign, this would normally be like, why can't you be 1,100? Why can't you be 1,200? Why can't you take that next step forward? But it's so hard, as we discussed, I think maybe a week ago, Gold, to have those conversations when you don't know if they're playing week one. Because that's what, like, it's a weirder conversation to be like, well, he should be at this many yards per game. Well, but if he comes into the season late and has to get readjusted to the order, you know, like, there's a million things that could change the number of it. But I do expect him to get better this year. And, you know, last year, we didn't know it, but he was the best wide receiver on the roster by a mile. I mean, it was not close. At least this year, he's got some competition. Hollywood Brown was real competition. We don't know what Xavier Worthy is yet. He's a rookie wide receiver. Unlikely he's going to be as good as Rashee Rice is right now, but at least there's some competition for the role. Last year, it was a joke. The unit was bad, and he didn't have anybody to play off of. He started getting more and more of the attention. But I like, he's saying the right things there, but he's also being protected because,
of course,
you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen with the league next.
We also learned just injury update after practice. Chris Jones, we already told you guys, he did not practice today. And once again, they're saying it's just a shoulder injury. Yesterday, we were told it was a stinger. Chris Jones was walking around and everything, had a smile on his face, but dealing with some sort of shoulder issue. Also, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not at practice today, dealing with an illness. And obviously, he spoke about some of the struggles that he's been going through last week. You maybe assume that that's what that's related to again.
Yeah, we'll just kind of see how it goes. Out of practice today, but we know what Clyde, with some players, man, I know what Clyde Edwards-Helaire offers
to this team. You know what you're getting.
And for the most part, he's been available to this team in the regular season. He's going to miss some training camp practices. I'm not going to break a sweat.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending, get caught up a little bit on what's going on in the sports world, and also get back into what has to change for the Royals tonight and ultimately the rest of this month.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.